At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello all, welcome to Up the Poshcast, the Poshcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Up the Poshcast. We were defeated today at London Road by Reading 2-1. A very disappointing game. Another loss. Peterborough United continue to be that inconsistent Jekyll and Hyde football team that we were all worried about. Ash, what were your thoughts on today's game?
Exactly that. I think that it's just another weekend on the roller coaster ride that is Peterborough United in the League One season this season. Obviously, two week break for all the players since the Cambridge game, which was probably the highest of highs. And then, not that this was one of the lowest of lows, but it definitely reeked of the inconsistencies that you get with a team that's probably got an average age of 21. I didn't think that we were particularly bad in the first half. And if you were to have told people that we were 2-0 down at half time, having watched the game and not seen the goals, they'd have probably been quite surprised. But then, sort of in the second half, it just felt like we were quite flat, really, and we were sort of struggling for ideas. Reading had come and obviously got the goals that they wanted, and then they sort of just accepted that they were happy with their two goals and they didn't need anything more. I would hope that we can obviously pick up. It's another sort of 2-week break now, isn't it, until we have another league game. But I would suggest that we probably need to see some changes just to freshen it up for next week, even though the guys have all had had a 2-week break. It'd be good to see those faces come back in. But overall, I'm not too disappointed. Like, you're not going to win every game, are you? And ultimately, Reading have been in a good patch, so it's not anything to be downbeat about, I don't think.
Yeah, they are a good team, Reading. I think you have to take that into consideration, and I agree with Ashley. I think we played really well. First half, very good. Like Ashley said, I don't think we deserve to be 2-0 down. We were playing some really good football. But the problem that we have is they scored the early goal and then they were able to sit back. So we did play some good football. We were knocking it around the back. They weren't really pressing us. And we weren't threatening them because they were so far back that they were just... to be fair to them, they defended really well. They snuffed out a lot of chances. One of their defenders especially did an absolute treat on Ricky. He didn't get much. So we always say about our defence not being as good as the attack, and that we rely on the attack to outscore teams. Unfortunately, this was a day where they got the goal so early that they were managed to defend well against our attack. And it's the defence not being alert to the dangers that we come up against every week that's let us down again.
Yeah, I mean, I was having some messages after the game with somebody from a Reading podcast, and he said that he felt that the game could have easily been 3-3, and neither side could have had any complaints, you know. I feel that even if it had ended, you know, 4-2, 3-2 either way, there wouldn't have been massive sort of shock about that. It was actually a very even game, a really entertaining game of football. I mean, a great game of football. If you were a neutral and you decided to pop along to London Road today, you would have been leaving very satisfied with what you'd watched. I thought the way we started the game actually was probably our best start to a game this season in terms of a fast start. You know, that first 10 minutes, for whether it was, you know, Malik G-ing up the GH stand after about 2 minutes after winning a corner, or just the seeming torrent of pressure we were putting them under. And then we conceded such an unfortunate goal. You know, that first goal is just an absolute stinker. Just fell asleep for a moment and got punished by a very crafty team. And then from there, we dominated again until the second goal. Again, just fell asleep at the back. and we just couldn't break them down until it was eventually too late and Manny scored that screamer. So yeah, I think it was actually a good performance. Fergie described it as a very good performance in his interview after the game. But the result is a poor one and it hurts. And another loss at home where it feels like we've sort of just been too tame, not been aggressive enough at home. It's becoming a very frustrating theme of this season, just a bit of timidness.
Yeah, you know, I think that maybe my frustration with today comes that you get, obviously we're not played for 2 weeks, like I mentioned earlier, and you've got 100 minutes of football. You would expect the team to be awake for that 100 minutes and switched on, and we've essentially conceded two goals because we were caught half sleeping. Reading have taken a quick free kick. They've clearly switched on to the fact that we maybe don't organise ourselves the best. That was something that obviously Lods, I'm sure you'd mentioned before, is that when we had Jed steering goal, we didn't seem to have any organisation, and that doesn't appear to have changed now that we've got Bilicapic in goal. One ball over the top, they've got a shot on goal, and then we've obviously let a man run onto the rebound. So overall, it wasn't like a massively disappointing day for the defence, because there were periods where they were relatively strong, but you can't switch off like that. You've got to be paying attention when you're defending, when you're giving away free kicks. You've got to be switched on for 100 minutes of football. Like I say, like if you're going to switch off, then it needs to be when you're attacking the opponent's box and you have that luxury of maybe 30 seconds to yourself, because their back's against the wall and maybe you're trotting yourself up for a corner.
I enjoyed the game, believe it or not. The first half, I thought, was definitely better than we were in the second half, even though we actually conceded both goals. It was one of those where I think on another day, we could have easily won the game. You know, it wasn't really going for us. There were so many, all the ricochets were going to their players. You know, look how many chances we actually popped wide or sort of hit the goalkeeper, which on another day, I would have been on target, would have been in. And we just didn't have any luck today. I know football's about skill and whatever, but you also need a bit of luck. And I don't think we had any today. You know, look at their first goal. The goalkeeper, you know, took one to the face and it ricocheted back out to them and they put it in the goal. You know, another day that would like off his face gone out. I thought Bilo actually played quite well today. We were saving, but we'll go on to players in another one. Yeah, the game went too bad. It's a bit disappointing to lose a game like that, but I genuinely believe it could have gone either way. What I did notice from the second half, though, is their pressing against us was far, far better than what ours was in the first half. You know, we just didn't have a sniff of the ball. Every time the ball come near us in the defence side of things, we didn't have time to control it. That was on us. And, you know, even Puku, whatever, when he was down the wing, at times he had three or four players. Poco, fuck off. He had three or four players, you know, marking him. It just seemed that they were swarming us and we couldn't handle it for whatever reason. But as far as the game goes, it was... I've seen worse. I've seen a lot worse, but just disappointed with the result at the end of the day. A couple of the players were not great. Overall, I thought our midfield and that up front was very good, apart from putting a ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Dale. I would say that the second half was really disappointing for me, especially the first 25 minutes of the second half. Without going down a route of using every single football cliche under the sun, it just felt like we didn't really lay a glove on them. They were popping it around our half. They were able to just keep getting in behind. And I think I know why. And I'm going to touch on that in a second. But yeah, the second half was terrible. And we kept getting cut open out wide. And they kept just being able to cut balls back low across the box, being able to get dangerous crosses in, being able to cut in. And that was because the two fullbacks that started that game for me, James Donnelly and Jack Sparks, who are two players that I really like and two players that I think have been really underappreciated and overhated at points this season, I thought they were both abysmal today. Like, bad, bad. As in, I think that was probably both of their worst performances of the season, individually. I thought Jack Sparks looked about as slow as he did, even when he was trying to get up to speed at the start of the season, and he wasn't fully fit. And we were told that he didn't look as slow as he did today. Looked like he was running through treacle at points. He wasn't latching onto balls that I'd really expect him to. And defensively, he was had absolute rings run around him. And then Dornelli put in... I don't want to be too harsh on Dornelli, and I don't want this to get clipped up and put all out on social media, but I don't think he was very good today at all. I think he was, his head was still in England camp, unfortunately. I think his decision-making was abysmal. There were a couple of times where he just gave the ball straight to their players. Mainly it looked like he was just doing it for shits and gigs, to be honest, at some points, because there was no reason for him to do some of the things he was doing. Attacking wise, I don't think he made one sort of good attacking play the entire game. Maybe he slipped Collins in once, but other than that, I can't think of any times where he had a real attacking output on the game. So yeah, I think the fullbacks today were probably our weakest area, Sparks and Dornelli. And I think they're both good players. I don't think they should both be dropped like some people are suggesting online, but I think it would be remiss of me to bemoan the lack of sort of cutting edge today and not talk about the fact that in both of the wide areas the wingers had very little support from what was behind them because it was really poor.
I don't disagree with that, but I maybe think that obviously lots of fans expect those eight or nine out of 10 performances every single week, don't they? And unfortunately with an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, you're just not going to get that. I would say that maybe Sparks was a little bit more disappointing, but I don't think that it was his worst performance in a Posh shirt. I think that that's probably a little bit harsh. There's been far worse from Jack Sparks that we saw at the start of the season. It just maybe is one of those games that he has particularly struggled against. Again, I think that Dornelli got a little bit lucky, even before they'd scored the first goal. There was a ball over the top that he sort of managed to get himself back in for. And that was mainly down to the Reading player dilly-dallying on the ball. But then obviously for the first goal, he's just completely switched off and let the man in, let the ball through. And then when you flip to the second goal as well, the ball's gone through him and gone past him. Wallin's tracking back. I'd like to discuss Wallin later on, so I'm not going to go into that too much detail. But he's... not bothered. You see from the highlight from the GH stand, he's walking. Like, get back, bust a gut, defend, because you don't know what's going to happen. And if he'd have got back there, you don't know that you couldn't have cleared the ball off the line. We will never know. And it is one of those scenarios, but he just seems like maybe his head wasn't quite in it today. Like you say, Charlie, I'm not going to disagree with that, in that obviously he's had a fantastic week. He's got sort of 30 minutes in the first game, and then he's gone to Poland, hasn't he? And got 90. Which is fantastic, and it's fantastic for the club. But I think that maybe his head was in other places, and maybe he didn't get all the sleep that he needed on the Friday night. That's for sure.
Yeah, that I think that's a fair point. I think on Sparks, I do think it was his worst performance of the season, and I don't think it was even close to anything that we saw in the opening games. I thought he was really hard done by in the opening games of the season, actually. You know, he constantly is chastised for what he performed at Shrewsbury away, but he only played half an hour and, you know, fine, he wasn't great for a goal, but he set up a goal as well. So I think today he had very little effect on the game other than, I mean, there were so many times today where he tried to take a touch and it just went out of play. Like, it just, he looked incapable of stopping a football. And that was really worrying. There were a couple of times as well where Dornelli, I think for the main two problems for each of them was, for Sparks, it was control. And for Dornelli, it was distribution. Dornelli's passing was very sort of everywhere. And then, yeah, the positioning for the goal. I mean, it was proper sleepy stuff. And it's interesting, isn't it? Donnelly's an academy graduate, so we all love James Dornelli. And you can see how proud he is to wear the shirt. And he's played for England, and we are all proud of him. And we're all big fans of James Dornelli. But you talk about him walking back there for the second goal, and it just sort of reminds me of Harry on here saying that, you know, I think it was Harry that said all the players for Bolton that were walking back after the penalty should be fined. And it's like, you know, are we taking that same harsh approach on James Dornelli? And if it is that he walked back and didn't give his all, then why aren't we taking that same approach to James Donnelly? Is it because he's got more credit in the bank than Sam Curtis did? Is it because we like him more because he's an academy graduate? I think he got off quite lightly today, James Donnelly. And I don't want to pile on him too much because I think he's having a fantastic season, and this is very much his first year as a professional. So I don't want to pile in on him. But I think if he was to do an interview after the game and he'd spoken to Posh Plus, he would have said the exact same thing as we're saying right now and say that it wasn't his best display. And maybe, you know, yeah, his head was with other things.
No, I do actually think that as an academy prodigy, you probably do get a little bit more slack. I'm not going to argue that. When you think back to last season with Ricky, myself and John doing lots of defensive work because he is an academy product, and I think that Donnelly should probably be given that sort of relief as well. It's just frustrating, isn't it? Like you say, is that we've watched Sam Curtis not bust a gut for a penalty to get back into the box at Bolton, and then you're doing the same thing for Donnelly's doing the same thing at 2-0 down. It was like he'd given up, which is probably the thing that annoyed me the most, is that their player's running through and he's given up on it. It's like he's expecting them to score, which is not something that we should be doing. We were, what, 23 minutes into the game when they went 2-0 up, I think it was. And it was just that defeatist attitude that sort of bugged me a little bit. If we flip it onto, obviously, the back two, I don't really think that Manny was and Wallin were fantastic. I think that my frustration with Wallin is that when we flip back to Cambridge, obviously, Dell mentioned how much he loved that last-ditch sliding tackle to nick the ball back off of it. He's tried it again today for the second goal, but he's completely mistimed it. And ultimately, he's sold himself short, which is where he needs his teammates to help him. It's a timing issue. He's not won the ball. And then basically, it was Nibs, wasn't it, that scored the second goal as well. He's had the chance to essentially have a free shot on Bilo, which again, like, I don't see where a clean sheet's coming from. There's nothing I'd love more than a clean sheet for this back five that we've got playing at the moment. But I just do not see where it's coming from in the league when we are conceding every single week because of lapses in concentration, people not committing themselves, and all sorts of that stuff. It's getting very frustrating now that we're unable to keep a clean sheet. That's for sure.
Just think we one day it is going to click for us at the back because it is quite inconsistent. But from Bilo's point of view, I actually thought he had a very good game. From a shot stopping, which we all know that he can stop the shots. He had a few dodgy passing out, kicking, throwing, whatever, where it's all like your heart was in your mouth because he sold him a bit short. But I actually thought from a defensive point of view, he kept the ball out of the net. I don't think he really could have done anything about the two goals, if I'm honest. But he was going to get a higher score if it weren't for his kicking. It's right what you say about Wallin. Didn't quite look onto it today. And I think Manny just looked a little bit, I wouldn't say lethargic, I think it's the wrong word. He looked a little bit too casual. Do you know what I mean? I just thought he was a little bit too casual and wasn't really sort of getting stuck in there like what we need to. Yeah, but overall, the defence, I think I've already alluded to, the defence for me was the worst part of our game today. Midfield and up front, I thought was good, which we'll come on to very shortly. But, you know, it is what it is. We are going to get a clean sheet at some stage. When? I don't know. But we will very, very soon. Hopefully. Maybe. Possibly. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah, I mean, I think Bilo was really bad today. Not really bad, actually, maybe just bad. It was a bad Bilo display, I thought. I think he made some good saves, definitely made some good saves. And he bailed his defenders out quite a few times. But I also think he played us in water quite a few times. I think some of his distribution was poor, really poor, like last season poor, which was concerning for me. When they sort of pressed up on us in that second half especially, there were a couple of times where he has this sort of weird pass that he does, and it happened at Wickham away last year, where he sort of like curls it at head height and it sort of bounces off an opposition player, and it's like it sort of cuts across the pitch, and it's always just ends up with the ball coming straight back at him. And it looked like, you know, I was in the GH today, and I was watching him, and he looked very uncomfortable in that game, especially in the second half today when they were really pressing us. I don't think it was as confident a display from him as we've seen in recent weeks. He's still my number one, 100%. He's still my number one, and he will be my number one for a very long time unless he starts stinking it up properly, because I do think he's an excellent goalkeeper, and he is usually good with his feet, and he has been usually good with his feet this season. But to attribute a good performance to him today, I think would be a little bit of an over-exaggeration. And sort of on the more general point of when are we ever going to get a clean sheet, I genuinely think we'll probably get one or two this season, because yeah, he is, it's just not good, is it? We're not good at the back. I think Katongo will have been watching that game today and licked his lips, and same with Adebisi, because it looks like there's going to be some spaces in the back line for them too, because yeah, it was bad.
I think it's probably a bit harsh on Bielo. I know his passing wasn't great today, but to compare it to last season where we were asking him to play short passes from the back, and compare it to today, I don't think he made any mistakes playing any short passes today. I think his poor distribution today, which I do agree was quite poor, was more the long balls, the fast balls, the counter-attacking balls that we've been praising him for of recent weeks. I don't think we can criticise his want of trying, because without those passes, we're eliminating a lot of counter-attacking chances, which we lacked today. I think had some of them passes made it to the player, we'd be absolutely praising him, because we would have created a chance in a game where Reading was sat so far back that we were really struggling to create any chances at all.
Basically, what I think happens here is that Charlie's realised that he's not going to get it with Malik Mothersill, so now he's picking on someone that isn't going to give it back to him because he's not on socials. I am absolutely outraged at that piece from Charlie, not just because I'm going to sit here and defend Nick Bilakapic, but he wasn't that bad. And to say that he's got his distribution, his quick distribution is the only thing that he's got over Steer. He's got many things. No, I know. I've slightly missaid that. Look.
Not slightly. That was just fabrication. That didn't happen. That was not a quote at any point.
He makes a fucking great save from the first one today and is unfortunate because his defenders don't help him out. As a goalkeeper, you stop the ball with whatever you can. It's hit him in the face. The poor lad's got a little runny nose and the ball's in the back of the net. And we didn't concede, like you're saying, how sketchy he was at the back. We didn't concede in the second half. We won the second half 1-0. Like, if he was that bad, we would have seen a Wickham performance, which is, we were so far away from that. And I do think that his distribution's got a lot better. Plus, you also have to add in that the conditions weren't fantastic today as well. And I wouldn't want to be doing that sort of thing and playing zippy passes on a pitch like that today, when you've got Manny, who's not got the best of touches, and Wallin, who was not fantastic either today. And between the four of them, probably couldn't have strung a pass. The four in front of Bielo struggled to pass the ball today just as much as Bielo did as well. But, you know, I'm not having it, basically.
I mean, I'm certainly not going to... I'm not blaming Bielo for anything today. As I said, I thought he made a couple of great saves, but he was being attributed with a fantastic performance. And I think that, and you know what I think it is as well? I think every time we overhype a Bielo performance, it takes away from when he actually is really good. And people think that, oh, we're just going to back Bielo, you know, Ash, you're telling me that I'm slagging off Bielo while you've got a picture of him currently caressing your head. I think we have to be realistic about Bielo, and Jed Steer's not in the team anymore, which is something that I think we most of us wanted. But we now have to judge Bielo fairly and not judge him against Jed Steer, but judge him against Bielo. And I'd say it was his worst performance since he's come back into the team. Now, that's not me saying he was at fault for anything, not me saying that he was, you know, terrible, but I don't think it was his best performance. I think it was probably an average Bielo performance, if not slightly below average. He did his shot stopping well. He conceded two goals. But I don't think he was. I don't think he was terrible. I don't think he was great though, and I gave him, I think, like a 5 in the player rating, just below average, because I think he didn't stop, you know, either of the two goals, which is, you know, you concede two goals, you immediately lose a point for me as a goalkeeper. And his distribution wasn't fantastic. So that's why I put him below average. I'm not slagging him off. I think he's been fantastic. I think he's a really good goalkeeper. And I think he's going to be our number one for quite a few years. But I do think today he wasn't as good as Dell was making out.
Yeah, look, back five, not the strongest today. I would really like to take a moment to praise Archie Collins and Ryan de Havilland in the middle of the pitch today. I thought that they were fantastic at taking the ball off of their defenders, moving it around triangles between themselves and Joe Randall as well. It really did feel like we got the Archie Collins performances that maybe we've been missing this season so far. And I am still so delighted that Ryan de Havilland is picking up where he felt like he probably should have been last year, but didn't get the chance. And is showing what he can do. I think that maybe the only disappointment from Ryan de Havilland was that we had one free kick in the first half that he hit straight at the wall. I'm sure that he'll be really disappointed with that, because that was definitely something that he specialised in at Barnet, and he probably expected himself to put the ball in the back of the net there. But in terms of just their play together, I thought that they were both really, really strong together. And it's a fantastic partnership that is forming in the middle of the pitch.
Yeah, I gave Collins a rating of 6.5, I think. After watching about the highlights, I think that's probably harsh. I think he had a really, really good game. I noticed in the training video that was posted on Posh Plus this week, he was playing slightly advanced in the game, the training game that they had. And it felt like he was playing advanced in our game again today. I don't know if that's a one-off for Reading or if that's something we're going to see in the future from him. But he does cover a lot of ground, and he was also doing a lot of defending, especially on sort of Jack Sparks' side of the pitch. He sort of got back quicker than what Jack Sparks was. I know you mentioned his lack of pace earlier, Charlie, Jack Sparks is. He covered a lot of ground. He's great in possession. Some of the balls he was playing over, he played that excellent pass to Poku. He had four men on him at some points, but Collins still managed to put him through basically one-on-one. I think Poku should have done a bit better. I'm sure we'll cover that a bit later. He's easily our most consistent player. I think he puts in great performances every week. He often goes unnoticed by a lot of fans. But today, definitely, he deserves applauders, because I think he probably was our best player on the pitch.
Yeah, I think Collins and de Havilland are really growing. I'd be worried if I was Hector Kyprianou. I would, because I'd be looking at that midfield partnership, and they're starting to get settled, which I think would be concerning for him looking to gain his place back in the team. I think they really understand each other, Collins and de Havilland. The way that they were sort of dropping into like a nice little box with the centre halves and then working it out, and then Randall would come and make a line and they'd play out that way. It was really effective. It got us out of quite an aggressive Reading press a lot, especially in the first half. I thought they were really good at dictating the tempo of the game. I thought they were fantastic. I was really, really pleased with them too. And I think Ryan de Havilland is... I still want to see his set pieces, actually, is another thing that I sort of... a point I have about de Havilland, because I feel like we haven't really seen enough of them. And when he was signed, one of the things that they said was like his set pieces are crazy, and he takes, you know, corners with one foot and free kicks with another. And I would absolutely love him to start taking our corners, maybe, because I think they were a bit subpar today in terms of not beating the first man on quite a few occasions. And yeah, I'd just like to see his set piece distribution a bit more, because we were told when he was signed that it was fantastic, but it feels like other than that free kick he took today, which hit the wall, he hasn't really taken many.
No, I do agree with that, and a great Archie Collins performance is one where he covers lots of ground and he sort of covers everybody else's position, and he still does his own game well, which is what I think we saw today. Obviously, we mentioned Jack Sparks. Not to go back to Jack Sparks, but when Jack Sparks doesn't have a fantastic ball into the box, doesn't whip those crosses in from set pieces and from open play, I think that naturally makes him look like he's had a worse performance, because he's not the ultimate left back. But Archie Collins does do a lot of hard work, like he did last year for Harrison Burrows. And I think that was maybe why Archie Collins excel today and had that fantastic performance. Is that one moment he was at left back, then the next moment he's on the opposition box supporting Poku, like we've mentioned. And it was just good to see that we know that he's regaining that form again, because he is a very, very important member of the team. It's important that we start to tick, like Del says, is that at some point we're just going to explode, aren't we? But we need all of the 11 players that are starting on the pitch to explode together.
I think our midfield is actually quite good. When you look at it last season, both Collins and Hector, it was solid. But I think this year, without Hector, I think De Havilland has been like the, got his name right, has been like the surprise package, if that makes sense. You know, it's a bit like a new signing, because we're seeing things that we've not really seen of our player before. And, you know, he's been quite silent in the way that he goes around thing. He's not sort of all the flares or anything like that. He just does a right good, solid job, you know, forward, back, pass. And he's one of these players that does a good job without noticing him doing a good job. So I think our midfield is very, very strong. And as Charlie says, Hector, I don't think he deserves to get back in, if I'm honest. Let him go where else. But the two midfielders playing at the moment are superb. And with the backup of O'Brien Brady. Yep. With the backup of O'Brien Brady, you know, I think we're in a good place in the centre of midfield. So, yeah, it's good. It's good. And they did play very well today. It's just a shame that the defence behind them weren't as good.
I think I'd like to take this opportunity as well, just to say how good Randall has been since his fallout with Fergie. I put a lot of criticism on Fergie for his choice of how he dealt with that situation. But you can't disagree. This is probably the best Randall has played for us consistently over a period of games now. Newport, he was great. Against Cambridge, he was great. I thought he was really good again today. I said it last week. When he's playing well, I think a lot of players around him also play well. I don't want to go back on what I said, because it could have gone the opposite way, where, you know, Randall suffered mental health issues. But it seemed to have worked. Randall is playing the better than what he was playing last season. So fair play to Fergie.
I want to go on Randall, because I've been his bad mouther, haven't I? Look, and I'm not disappointed that he ended up being our man of the match today. He, like I said the last time that we recorded, is that you have to watch Randall, don't you, to appreciate Randall. And when you focus on him and what he does, he puts in strong performances. And I don't think that we were terrible attacking today. And lots of that does come down to the fact that Randall was in the positions and taking up the pockets that were afforded to him. So I've not got anything negative to say on Joel Randall today.
No, me neither, actually. And I think we all had our piece, well, me mainly, about slating him early in the season. But again, today, he was putting the miles in. He was putting the, you know, he was tracking back. He was all over the place. Some of his little flicks weren't coming off, but on another day, they would have. But, you know, he's putting effort in and he was chasing back. At stages, he was like the last man back, chasing back. And at other times, he was like the furthest man forward, busting a bollock, you know, to try and keep up with Ricky or Mothersill on either side to get in the middle. And didn't quite work out. But overall, you can't fault him at the moment. You know, if you want to go out and look for any faults, then, well, you need to look a little bit harder, because I think he's actually been okay. So credit where it's due. We're all very good at criticising players and finding fault with them, but I think it's only right that we also give them the praise that they deserve when they're not doing things wrong.
Yeah, talking about giving people the praise that they deserve, I'll highlight one player in the front three that I thought was excellent today, excellent against Cambridge, has been very good in recent weeks, and that is Malik Mothersill. I know that I've been... apparently, I've been a critic of Malik Mothersill for ages, but I thought he was really good today. I really liked the way that he carried himself on the pitch, the way that he, you know, I really liked when he won that corner in the first few minutes and was really amping up the crowd. That was really good. And I think he was really good at beating his men today. You know, he was, I think it was sort of less about him. And it's been made a lot of about Poku having a lot of players marking him, but Malik was just as heavily marked, I think. You know, he always had at least two, but usually three players on him. And he was like just bullying his way through. It was like a bulldozer in the first half with just, you know, he's got that little bit maybe of extra sort of strength and physical stature that Poku doesn't have. So when Poku has to beat them with his feet, Malik can sometimes just go through the middle of them. And that's what he did today on a few occasions. He used players' bodies against him really well. He was knocking the ball off and then sort of going around the other side and picking it back up. And yeah, I think he was probably the best of our front three today, Malik. He got a bit tired in the second half, but I think all of the attackers did. And I think, you know, when Malik was brought off, it was nothing more than we wanted to get, you know, Ado and Conclark and them not into the game to try and give us a bit of fresh impetus. But no, I thought Malik was really good today. I think he's really growing into his position on the left wing. I think he's got a lot of confidence at the minute, and I hope that today didn't do anything to knock that. And yeah, I'm enjoying watching him play at the minute. I think he's doing really well.
No, do you know what? I completely agree. And the satisfying thing, like you mentioned, Charlie, is that he's got the ability to beat two players in one move and still carry the ball forwards and through them. And I think that if I think about the last player that I can remember at Posh that did that, it was probably somebody like Dembele, maybe, where you just felt like no matter who tackled him, he was always going to come out with the ball. And there was some elements of sloppiness today, and sometimes he didn't look like he was quite enjoying having his back to the goal, especially in the first half, and then having to play backwards. He was trying to carry the ball inside, and that's definitely not the best Malik Mothersill that we've seen. I think that when he is on the touchline, facing towards the goal and able to run at their players, the opposition, there's nobody like him at the moment that we've got in the team. And it was a satisfying performance from him in the first half. And like you say, it looked like they got tired. It looked like the pitch was maybe a little bit heavy for them all today, and their legs started to burn through, where you don't have that consistency of playing games. There is nothing like playing games compared to training. You'll never get the intensity that you get in a game in training. And that was probably why we started to look tired towards the end of the game. I would just like to also just sort of say how I enjoyed the whole front four, like Charlie and Del mentioned about, like they were defending today, and it's clear to see that they've been given some extra, let's say, incentive by Fergie to help the defensive line. There was definitely something in the second half where I remember Poku was basically stopping a shot and blocking a shot, and Randall was tracking back, and Mothersill was covering for Sparks as well when Sparks was further ahead of him. And I think that the only way is that if they do really pull together as a team. However, is that at the detriment of us potentially having players out of position and not scoring as many goals as we could have done today if they'd have been sat up high? I'm relatively confident that if we could have sat the three players higher, there would have been more opportunities created. But it, like I say, it wasn't a performance to be disappointed by any of the players that played up front today.
I'd sort of echo what you're saying about the front three, front four. I think what you said about the tracking back from Randall, etc. It's right, Malik was like a left back at one stage. And, you know, you could tell that the miles these players put in today, they were shattered, you know. And they don't just like run, but they run at pace. When they go forward, they run at pace. And that takes a lot more out of you than like a little bit of a jogging. And that's why I think we deserved a little bit more from some of the chances we had. They deserved something a little bit more from the effort they put in. And in fact, the whole team deserved more from the effort we put in. Midfielders get very good. Bilo's good. Defence was a little bit weak. Up front, you can't fault them, because another day, they're going to score 3, 4, 5 goals because they was creating the chances and it just wasn't happening. You know, going 2 inches wide here or getting a ricochet, and, you know, fair play to them. I can take defeats like that, you know, because you could see the desire that we was trying to do something. So, you know, it is all going to click at some stage. The midfield starting to work together very well. The attack we know works together very well. We just need to sort that defence out a little bit, and, you know, we're going to go places. But we're a young team, as we keep going on about, and we are going to make mistakes. We are going to sort of be a bit lapsedaisy from time to time. But overall, all good. All good.
Yeah, I think that is the sort of summary. I think, you know, you have to praise Reading and praise the opposition at times. And I think some of the blocks that their players put in today were fantastic. I thought a lot of their back line were excellent today individually. Some of the best, you know, defensive performances we've seen against Bosch this season. And sometimes you just have to accept it. So yeah, fair play to Reading. It wasn't a terrible performance despite the result being a really bad one. And so yeah, moving on then, we've got Notts County in the FA Cup at London Road on Saturday. A team that I think we should be very wary of. They're fourth in League Two currently, but they are, you know, really pushing. It wouldn't surprise me if they ended up going up automatically this season. It is going to be a really difficult game. Fergie, in his post-match with BBC Radio Cambridgeshire, said that it was a really, really tough game. They are excellent. They play some great football. Yeah, I am worried about the game. Ash, do you share my concerns? Are you very cautious about this one?
Concerns, yes, because when we think back to pre-season, they were two really good games of football that were given to us, which clearly shows that Notts County are ready to compete at the level that we are this season, which is what you want from your pre-season games, and ultimately it's probably what you want from a second round FA Cup game. The carrot is there for all of the players in the hope of getting a great third round tie, but at the same time, knowing that we've still got players coming back from injury, I don't think that cup games should be our priority. So if we rotate and we make some changes and we put some players in, I wouldn't have a massive issue with that. Thinking that, knowing that we've got a really, really hectic Christmas period to come and a really busy December, especially with that BSM game that's going to be slotted in between a Saturday and then a Tuesday and then the Friday before Christmas. I think that our priorities need to be held elsewhere, that's for sure.
I disagree. I think whether we want them to be our priorities or not, I think it's very important that we progress to the third round of the FA Cup. I think that's just an expectation for any manager that comes in. And across all squads as well, the women's team had the exact same goals as us. Get as far as you can in the cup competitions because of the financial benefit that it brings. So with that being said, in terms of rotation, I think it's difficult to change the team up too much. I wouldn't mind seeing Nevitt over Wallen. But apart from that, I'd probably keep it the same. I think Odo was really good when he came off the bench again today. Probably a bit harsh on us not to mention him in the chat just then. Maybe him over Mothersill, but Chris Conn-Clark, I don't think it's worth risking him, giving him a start. I think just keep Randall in. I think you want your best players, your best chance of winning, your best chance of progressing through to the next round, and then hopefully we get a nice tie.
See, I think I would rotate quite heavily. I think not heavily, actually. I'd keep the squad strong, but I would definitely, I'd maybe even throw Kean Hayes into the mix and give Poku a rest. I think I would play Ado. I think I'd play Conn-Clark, maybe play O'Brien Brady and give De Havilland a rest, because while yes, I do feel like the FA Cup is an important competition, I do enjoy the FA Cup and I'd love us to be in the third round, I think even if we did play our full strength team, there is a very decent chance that we'd still get beat by Notts County because they are really good. And I think that Burton at home, which is our next game after that, which is, you know, on the Wednesday night of next week, is so massive for us. Like, we have to win that game, I feel. It's a huge game in terms of the season. We've got Burton at home and Crawley at home and Cobblers away in our next three. I'd much rather we have, you know, Joel Randall, Malik Mothersill, Poku to be able to play all three of those games than risk them against Notts County, knowing that we're going to have to give them some time out over the next three league fixtures. Because, you know, you look at those next three league fixtures and we've given ourselves a lot to do. And I think the ambition, you know, when we spoke to Ian last week, Ash Lodds and I, he said very much that the ambition is still to get promoted. And if we want to do that, then we have to basically get 7 points out of our next nine available, which is going to need our full squad available. So while I would try our best to beat Notts County, and I do think we should be taking it very seriously. I wouldn't risk anybody that Fergie doesn't feel he can get four games out of in the next four. If there's any players that need to drop out for a game, I'd make this be their game.
Charlie, I know we've been unlucky with injuries this season, but do you really think one extra game is going to do much for these players? Some of them played 40, even 50 games last season with no issues whatsoever. People like Randall can handle an extra game. You wouldn't want to risk not winning in the FA Cup just to give Ryan de Havilland and Randall a rest. If we're going to drop them, it's to give game time to the fringe players that perhaps deserve it, perhaps doing well in training, the likes of Odo and Chris Conclark. Giving players a rest at this stage of the season, I don't think we should be considering that.
I disagree. I think Christmas is probably, other than sort of like the tail end of the season, it is probably the busiest and the most physically exerting time of the season. I think it's tough on players, and it's not helped by the conditions and just by it being really in the middle of the season. There's no light at the end of the tunnel for these players yet, in terms of, you know, getting into pre-season and having a proper rest. So I'd say that, you know, if anything, the injuries we've had this season should prove that taking players out every now and again is important. You never know when a freak injury can happen. And if, let's say, de Havilland was to pick up a serious injury against Notts County, which made him miss, you know, Burton and Crawley, I would be very frustrated with that. And I think, why didn't we protect ourselves? And I know players can get injured in any situation. You know, a player can slip getting out of the shower and get injured. A player can, you know, feel something in training and get injured, you know. But playing them in match situations, whenever you play a player in a match, it is a risk. The chance of them getting injured does increase exponentially. And so I wouldn't risk anybody that we feel... I'd put out a team that we feel can win the game, and I'd put out a team that we feel is strong enough to win the game. But if there's any players from the first team that we feel we can win the game without, I would be taking them out.
I think we should go into the game to win it. League Cup, FA Cup, League. Let's go in to win it. You know, I don't think we should be resting players. These are professional players, and they're young players. You know, should have a bit about them. I don't think the extra game is going to make that much difference. If it does, then, you know, they need to be a bit fitter. So I would go out with the strongest team that's available. I probably wouldn't make any changes unless there's injuries. Just go out and win the game with the strongest team available and go from there. That's all we can do. And batter them.
Maybe we will. My question to everybody is that we've got this goalkeeper that's been with us for a little while now and has sat through our youth team and has developed with us. Do we make a goalkeeping change for the second round of the FA Cup and bring in Will Blackmore over Billa Capic? Or do we continue with Billa Capic?
Carry on with Bilo. I don't think Will Blackmore's been tested enough. We should be trying him in the Bristol Street Motor or the Virtue Trophy or whatever it's called these days. You look at what Bilo did against Salford in the FA Cup last season. If Blackmore had a similar game and we got knocked out, you imagine what the confidence would do to the poor lad. I think it's too important of a game. I know we're sort of downplaying the second round of the FA Cup, but it is an important game for us, especially against Notts County. It's going to be a good test for our style of play. I wouldn't be bringing him in here. I'd be playing him in the Johnson's paint.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a real atmosphere at the ground on Saturday as well. It's not going to be one of those games where, you know, you can hear the players. Notts County are going to bring a big travelling faithful. They're going to be behind that goal. They're going to be noisy. It's going to be a proper occasion. It's going to be a proper FA Cup tie. And also, I feel like, you know, whether we agree on that fact or not, I don't think Bilo did have his best game today. And I think I don't think he will be personally happy with his performance, to be honest. You know, from that day in the life of Bilo, I think we all saw the high standard that he holds himself to. I think, you know, I don't think he will be utterly happy with the way he played. And so taking him out, I don't think it's a good idea. I'd keep him in the team. a goalkeeper doesn't really ever need a rest, I don't think. You know, it's not a massively physically demanding position in the same way that an outfield position is. I don't think he will need a rest at any point. I'd probably play back more against Cobblers in the cup, but no, I wouldn't risk him for the FA Cup game.
Obviously, we know that with the FA Cup comes that like 9-man bench, is it? I think it is from the Newport game. So obviously, that does give us the chance to have some options on the bench and obviously potentially bring on some of the younger lads that we've got in the team. So maybe it would be nice if hopefully, obviously we don't know how the game's going to go, but if we can sort of get a lead and 2-3-0 up, it would hopefully be nice to see some of those younger lads. Because I don't think that we're maybe, now that we're through the bit into the Virtue BSM LDV Van Trophy last 32, I think that we're probably going to go for it again. Fergie's done the bit where he needs to G the players up for the group games, but we're now into knockout football, aren't we? So I struggle with when we're not performing where we are in the league with prioritising cup fixtures. And I think that it's something that I personally would be making more changes than everybody else has suggested for this game.
Yes. So I think we'll move on to score predictions then. Ash, we'll start with you. A quick reminder, although Harry isn't here, so he doesn't actually need it, but this game cannot be a draw and go to a replay. It has to be decided on the day. It will go to penalties, worst case scenario. So Ash, give me your prediction.
Well, I'm going to take up the opportunity for penalties. So I'm going to go high scoring 3-3, no goals in extra time, and then Posh to lose in the penalty shootout and get knocked out of the FA Cup.
I'll keep a clean sheet. We will concede. I'm just going to go for a 2-1 victory.
This scoreline could be literally anything. I'm going to go for a 4-1 win. Agree, it's going to be a goal fest. Hopefully we'll get them.
I will be the pessimist of the group. And I'll say that it's going to be Desmond 2-2 in normal time. And then I think Notts County will win 3-2 after extra time. I have a bad feeling. But it's okay. I would not be massively upset if it happened. It is what it is. And if we were to beat Burton on Wednesday night, that win would mean a lot more to me than the win on the Saturday anyway. So, yeah, thank you very much for listening to this episode of Up the Poshcast. We will be back following the Notts County game to give our thoughts and look forward to the hectic Christmas schedule beginning. So, yeah, thank you very much for joining us. Follow us on our socials and all that podcasty stuff. Up the Poshcast.
Fuck the FA Cup, I can't stand it.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback, give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast.
Oh. Charlie, when does the Christmas schedule start for you?
November 1st, when he put his Christmas tree up.
No, it's December.